Hey, guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where you stop waiting and you start showing up because you weren't created to play small. God's DNA is in you. You are built to grow, to lead, to become, to create. And the parts of your story that hurt you the most, you guys, that's not wasted. That is your message. And I want to get into this today. Today's guest is Stacey Schaefer. She's a therapist who spent 20 years helping kids navigate trauma while also walking through her own. Her story, she's going to tell it better than I ever could. And that's the whole point of her being here. So, Stacey, I just want to say welcome to the hot seat. And my guest question, the first question I kind of give everyone is your elevator pitch. Tell me who you are, what you do, and what makes you special.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. As you said, I'm Stacey Schaefer. I'm recovering from laryngitis, so I sound a little weird, but that's okay. I am in private practice in the Denver, Colorado area, and I wrote a book last April that is part memoir, part I was on a podcast and she described it as a guide to not emotionally damage the next generation. And so we're working with that. And I believe really strongly in breaking generational cycles and healing so that your kids don't have to heal from you.
Right. And you've worked doing this for 20 years, but like your story started way before that. So what did your childhood actually look like?
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. Let me tell you. And so I was born and raised in Las Vegas, which isn't my fault. I just showed up on the scene. But you know, for I don't know about your listening audience, but I do want to say trigger warnings for about abuse and neglect. And so the earliest time something happened to me, I was three. And what is like almost, I would say, competing with a bigger trauma is that my mom wasn't able to hear that. It was like that can't happen in a family. And so it's really important to me that I help parents because I feel like had there been a podcast, a book, a course, something for my mom to heal, begin to heal her own traumas, that would have changed the trajectory of my life if it stopped there, but it did not. And so it was 7 more years, then it came out, court case testified, because it was back in the day when we thought it was a good idea to have kids testify. And so testified, and then my mom developed breast cancer, had me sent away in an attempt to help me heal from that trauma, but that age 11 trauma was a way bigger. Probably the biggest trauma has happened at that age. Came back, turned into the perfect kid, built a life on perfection, all sort of came unraveled about a decade ago.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit to work with.
Yeah. Well, when you're in it, did you know it was trauma or did that come later?
I mean, I remember thinking, surely this isn't right, and surely there are adults who know how to treat kids. I don't know any, but yeah, like this isn't okay, and one day you'll find out, and one day you'll be sorry.
Yeah. How does a traumatic childhood shape the way, someone sees themselves as they grow up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like when I returned home from that year of trauma at age 11, I remember the exact moment where I was like, that was then, this is now, we're starting over. So I just didn't reference anything then and tried to build on a new foundation. But like, as we know, like those coping strategies outlive their usefulness. And so I thought I could start over. Like that, I'm like, here's where we're starting, and like just the reality of like when you heal, integration is needed to like actually that was me. And so those things need to be healed and held. And so everything I think from when I returned from Utah, it was a perfectionist lens because it was trying to protect everything there.
Yeah.
Don't look at it. And so it outlives its usefulness, I would say.
Yeah. What did healing actually look like for you? And I respect the textbook version, but the show is not about the textbook, right? I want the real version of that healing experience.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it was sexual abuse when I was young, when like 3 to 10. And what happened was that my mom, it was back in the day where they had residential treatment centers,
Okay.
and so she paid $100 for four men to come get me in the middle of the night, and take me away to heal. And so, like, girl, what? But what that really was trafficking. It was a trafficking scheme. But my mom, she ended up dying when I was 22 of breast cancer. And they were, I'm an only child. Mom and stepdad were dealing with that. And so, I think in order to actually function when I returned home, I couldn't go there. Like, I couldn't go there because there wasn't a safe container around me
Yeah.
in order to heal. And so I think, like, there has to be, like, a base in order to start looking at those things, because otherwise we would just emotionally fracture. It would be too much.
Yeah.
So I think, oh, like, it begins, I think, with having safe people around you.
What made you choose the work, like helping kids who are walking through what you lived?
Yeah, well, like, just so we're clear, I am intentionally ethical with the kids that I see. I, at this point in my journey, and probably never, I won't see kids who were like trafficked or the presenting issue is like sexual abuse. I specialize in grief. So I see like kids with the majority of what I see on a day-to-day basis are kids with anxiety. Because of living here, like you've been outside, and grief and depression and those kind of things. Because I feel like I am continuing to heal. I have my own therapist still because it was pretty bad. And so I want to help kids have it easier than I did. But I am not the person to go to for similar things of what I experienced.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. What does trauma actually look like in kids that people don't recognize?
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole soapbox issue for me, but I don't know where you're located at, but I'm here in the United States.
Yeah, I'm in the U.S.
Okay. And so the school violence issue is a really big one to me, because I've been on podcasts and I'm like, this actually is exclusive to the United States. But kids are getting dysregulated going to school.
Yeah.
Like, the intensity of what they're worried about, and in reality, could it happen? Yeah, it could. Is statistically unlikely. Yes. And so I think that a lot of kids are developing anxiety disorders in just headed to everyday school. Like, I have girls that won't take care of what they need to take care of on their monthly cycle because they're afraid of getting locked out of their classroom in a lockdown if they go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, yeah, so I feel like a lot of worries like pile up, but they don't know any different
Right.
because the kids of today have always had lockdown drills.
Yeah. Well, let's talk
That's one.
about your book. You wrote a book. What were you finally ready to say that you couldn't say before?
Yeah, I never, like, kind of before, like, I started talking, I would say, in like 2014 or 15. I wouldn't reference things before. It kind of slipped out at a dinner party, like people were talking about childhood, and I'm like, oh, did I ever tell you? And everyone's like, no, you didn't. Say that you missed a whole year of your life. And I was like, oh, huh. And so I'm like, maybe I should look at that and start actually talking. I was afraid. I think that it would make me, the amount of trauma I've been through, that it would make me seem, the fear was, not credible as a clinician, to be like, how can someone go through so much shit and like actually be sane and help people. And so I was afraid. And what I've discovered is that it's the opposite, that like it does make me like I've lived experience and clinical understanding. And so that's what I was afraid would happen, and the opposite did.
Yeah, that's amazing. So that is that been the hardest part of your story to share publicly? Or is there a specific part that was like ultimately, this is gonna hurt to put out there?
I mean, I think that year I'm in Utah, it was like the worst trauma. But honestly, like I said, my mom died when I was 22, and writing the honest truth about my mom, because she was a human, right? And so sometimes when people die, we put them on a pedestal and we feel bad talking about just the reality of being both dark and light. I think the hard part for me was and is owning the reality of what my mom was really like, and that has felt really painful. That it's like, she did the best with what she could, but she could have done better, a lot better.
Yeah, that makes sense, 'cause I currently do the same thing. It's but you're double grieving. Like I grieve the mom I'll never have, the mom I never had, but you're not only grieving like she physically isn't here, you're still grieving that
Yes.
perspective that was never there. So it's kind of like a double
100%.
a double stab.
100%.
Right now, where are you still healing and still growing in your journey?
Well, I think that I'm growing with the ability to be like seen. Like I'm growing, like my platform. I'm working on, I have an online course, my first, on April 10th, and it's about staying connected to your kids in a digital world. And like I feel comfortable knowing the content, but just expanding into the greater world feels a little scary to me, because being seen comes with so many things, and it's vulnerable and being exposed. And so and then I came up with another title for my next book, and I'm just like, slow down, because I feel a little bit like I'm like a turtle, and I like stick my head out, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like I'm open about these things, but now I'm not.
No, I totally understand that, and I feel like, I think people don't understand putting out a book, especially if it's not a fiction book. Is very, it's like you're standing in front of the world naked and everybody's
Yes.
you. And so I get that. It's horrifying. And still times 5 years later where I'm like, oh my God, what if that person reads this? And
Yes.
have those real moments. And I
Yes.
love that you're being honest about all of that, because a lot of authors like don't talk about the struggle. They don't talk about
Oh.
the feelings after. But even now, like I love my books and I love my readers and I love the people who are there, but I've grown so much that even then I'm like, this last week I read one of my pages and I cringed and I'm like, wow, you said that and it's in a book
I know.
forever. You are such,
Forever.
it's forever. So now I have to work harder to make sure my legacy makes an
Yeah.
impact now, because that can't be the thing people connect me to, right?
Yes,
So it is
totally.
a
I know.
whole incredible experience, but
I feel that. Yeah, and I see teenagers. So I did my own audiobook. I flew to Nashville. So I sound like I actually sound on the audiobook. And one of my teenage clients was like, so I listened to you the other day, and I'm like, oh,
interesting.
wow, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like,
Time's up.
I'm like, so how's the boy drama?
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah. And so that, like, and they're like, I had no idea. And one of my clients said to me yesterday, their mom had read my book, and the kid, she was talking about like how people who are abused, like other kids, like still have to be nice, like that it doesn't give them a license. And then she's like, you were abused, right? And I'm like, yeah. And so like tried to fit I figured out a way to flip it back, but it's like moments like that that I'm like, you can't unknow that.
You can't. Yeah, that would be so much. I think that would be a lot. Right? I got to publish books and hide out. I didn't have to
I
meet anybody. It was just like, they're out there. I'm going into hiding for 3 years. Nice knowing you.
know.
You
See
know?
ya.
Yeah. So I want
Bye.
to ask you one final question, and then I want you to tell everybody like how they can work with you, where they can find your books, like give them all the tea, okay? But I want to ask this. If you stripped away your role as a therapist, who are you at your core without the title and without the work?
I think who I am without the title is someone who is just really compassionate and wants to make my life matter, like somehow that it's like all through all the shits, like it's got to amount to something, you know, like it didn't just endure that to die. So I think someone who like wants to be a change maker and change things because I don't have a time capsule. And so the only thing I can do is help kids not have as a shitty childhood as I did. And so I would want to find some way to do that if I didn't, if I wasn't a clinician.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can see that in you. Where can people find you? How do they work with you? All the.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be in the show notes because there's a million ways to spell my name, which I'm sure you understand. But stacyschafer.com, you can, if you put in your email address, you can get the first chapter of my book. There's also a link to my book, my audiobook, and then there's a way to contact me on stacyschafer.com.
That's perfect. I just want to say thank you for coming on here, even though you're recovering, because it sounds painful. And I'm like, girl, but I'm going to tell you now what I think that makes you special. And it's not just that you help kids, but it's that you became the person that you needed when you were younger. You took the thing that was meant to keep you stuck and you turned it into something that helps other people feel seen and safe and understood. And that's incredibly rare. A lot of people do the thing where the thing happens to them and then they wait to die and regret creeps in fast. And I feel like you are, living a bold life of healing and helping other people. Everyone stays in their pain. It's so much easier. And you were like, I'm going to transform this. And now, I mean, you're literally not just healing yourself, you're helping shape the next generation. I think that matters incredibly. And I think that's what makes you special. And I honor your work. I thank you for it. I thank you for stepping into that God-given potential to be the voice for someone who can't speak up yet. And to everyone listening, what you went through, it doesn't disqualify you, it qualifies you. God did not create you to stay stuck in your pain. He created you to grow through it, to literally become someone stronger and to use your story to help someone else, to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. Your mess is your message. And I have to say this straight, podcasting is one of the most powerful tools right now, and almost nobody is using it in the right way. Your voice matters more than you think it does. And that's why I created my podcast support group. It is in the alternate show notes here. I'll help you simplify it, start it, and actually use your story to build something real. No overthinking, no bullshit. Okay. We're just taking action. If you've been sitting on your story, go join the group, get in the arena, and start using your voice. And now I need you to share this episode. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss another conversation. But I need you to send this to someone who needs it, someone who needs what Stacey has, someone who needs the book, someone that you know may be struggling, maybe even just someone you don't think is struggling, but they have kids so that there is a level of relatability there. Just help be the voice for Stacey to reach as many people as she can. Let's support her mission. And it's very simple. Leave a review. Written review helps, but definitely please, please, please share the show. And then if you're ready for the hot seat, you guys come tell me why you're special. Stacey, I appreciate you so much for your time and your message and the work that you're doing. God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here.